Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a great show today. Our Get Over It health expert, Cheryl Meyer, is back, and we're going to be talking about inflammation and autoimmune disease, and folks, it's important to pay attention. Now, we're going to be focusing on health and health today, so if you've got anything amiss, an ache, a pain, a cough, anything at all, this is the show for you. Now, the last time a show was on, and that was on June 4th, 2018, she gave a basic primer about, you know, getting healthy. And today we're going to, as I said, talk about the inflammation on immune disease, and then every couple of months she's going to come on and talk to us about more holistic ways that we can help ourselves. And these ways are proven. It's not pie in the sky, like maybe it'll work. She's going to give you her expertise, how it worked for her, how it worked for others. I will share how things have worked for me. And if you do it, folks, it will work for you. Okay? There's no magic bullet, if you will, but we can help you get on the path to better health, okay? So please check in with us every couple months for this show, because our health expert, again, Cheryl Miller, is going to get us healthy, okay? Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release the BS that is no longer needed and that's holding you back, but the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Many book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. My guest tonight, our health expert, is Cheryl Meyer, and she holds a BA from the University of California at Berkeley. She's an integrative nutrition coach and has received that designation from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. And she's a self-employed business owner, and it is her passion, her absolute passion, to help people by giving them the information so that they can go out and heal themselves. And you can find out more about her by checking her out at her website, and that's CherylMHealthMuse.com. Again, that's CherylMHealthMuse.com. And, of course, you want to go get her book. And her book is It Feels Good to Feel Good, Learn to Eliminate Toxins, Reverse Inflammation, and Feel Great Again. Welcome back, Cheryl.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here again.
I love
talking to your listeners about this.
Thank you.
And you're right. I have a passion to share this information.
Well, they love hearing you because your podcasts do very well on this network, so thank you so much. And as I introduced you earlier, you are the Get Over It podcast health expert, and you'll be coming back every couple of months with new information to help us get healthy. Because, I mean, you know what, folks? If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. I don't care how much money you have. If you don't have your health, you know, things go down pretty quickly. Cheryl, tonight I'd like to talk about inflammation and autoimmune disease and how they come together. So maybe you want to start with a little bit of your background.
Perfect.
With all of this, and then just take it away. I'll ask questions in the meantime.
Autoimmune disease is an interesting disease because it happens because of toxic load. And the toxic load builds up over a long period of time. So where my journey didn't start was when I woke up one morning 7 years ago and couldn't get out of bed because everything in my body hurt. But I have since learned that I had signs along the 20 years that should have told me that something was going haywire in my body, and I just wasn't paying attention. It started off that I couldn't be around anybody wearing fragrance. I couldn't breathe when I was around people wearing heavy fragrances or scents that went into the air or sprays that were supposed to clear bad odors out of the air. I couldn't breathe when I was around that. Then I woke up one morning and my eyes were all swollen. And it ended up as I was having a problem with every single kind of mascara, whether it was hypoallergenic or not. Then it was my underarm deodorant. Some made me blister, some made me rash. Took me forever to find one. I found one from someone with lupus who made her own deodorant out of self-defense. Then I woke up one morning, this is when the 2x4 hit me across the head, and my tongue and my lips and my eyes were almost swollen shut. And by deduction, I figured out that was fabric softener. Now, all of those were signs that inflammation was building in my body because my toxic load was building. But when I woke up that morning and I couldn't get out of bed because everything hurt, that was when my toxic load went over the top. And I went to my doctor, and she had no clue what was wrong with me. So I went to her again and again and again, and we kept running tests, and she kept saying, the bottom line, Cheryl, is there's nothing wrong with you. And I said, there has to be something wrong with me. I hurt. And she offered me steroids without having a clue what she was going to treat. She wanted me to take the magic pill. Both of my parents had unusual diseases where the medication became more of a problem than the disease itself. So I knew I was not going to go down that line. And I was lucky. I had my own business for 20 years. I turned it over to my staff, and I started researching. And what I discovered was I could own my own health, and I could start eliminating toxins. And I literally eliminated hundreds of them. There's an incredible website called the Environmental Working Group, or for short, EWG, that is a database of hundreds of thousands of items where you can look up what the toxicity is of that item. And some of them were simple things like my cosmetics. I was buying very expensive French cosmetics. They were a 9 on a 10-point scale.
Oh.
So I started finding what was toxic and then replacing it with very low toxic things. And the other thing I discovered while I was doing all this was that I needed a new kind of doctor, and I found myself a functional medical doctor, which is different than a conventional doctor. My doctor graduated from Yale. She is a full-fledged medical doctor, but she got sick and couldn't help herself. So she went back for additional training in something called functional medicine. The difference between conventional medicine and functional medicine is a conventional doctor probably will give you 7 minutes an appointment. And what they hear is the first thing that you have that you went to see them for, and then they match the pill to that symptom. A functional doctor, I went to her, I spent 45 minutes with her, the first appointment, and that is kind of my average appointment time with her. She looked at me and said, you want to know something? You're sitting on a tack. We need to go find that tack. A functional doctor looks at the entire body, and they practice what's called root cause medicine. And I tease her that I'm an onion. We keep peeling layers off of me and discovering new things that are not functioning correctly in my body, all of which were part of my inflammation. So the first thing I did was start to eliminate toxins, which we'll talk about. The second thing I did, which I skipped over, is I found ways to control my stress. I thought stress was good for me. I was constantly in the mode of being chased by a tiger because I thought that helped me produce more for my business because I was running at hyperspeed all the time. Well, that depleted a hormone in my body called cortisol, which got so depleted that, according to the conventional doctor, I wasn't to Addison's disease yet, so what to do? Well, by the time I got to the functional doctor, we connected it immediately to why I was feeling fatigued. And it was a pretty easy fix. I ordered a DHEA spray from Amazon, and DHEA makes cortisol, so I spray this under my tongue twice a day. It fills up the DHEA, which then goes over and fills up my cortisol, and guess what? My fatigue is gone. And when I'm doing too much now, trying to educate everybody with what I've learned, and I start to feel that I'm getting fatigued, I start spraying it under my tongue, and it refills up my cortisol, and I'm humming. So a functional doctor, you have to control the stress. We can talk about, I have a real easy exercise that I use constantly to do that. But then she started peeling the onion further, and we discovered that we did my genetics. Now, just because something's in your genetics doesn't mean that it's going to make itself apparent in your body. But what I had in my genetics, which did end up being something that would have helped both of my parents had they still been alive, is I inherited something called the MTHFR, which means that what goes in my body stays in my body because I don't detox. And I was born in Pittsburgh. And my joke was, my dad got me out of there when I was 4 because I was allergic to Pittsburgh, literally. When we got out of there, a lot of my allergies went away. And when we would get within 50 miles of Pittsburgh to visit family, I would be a rash from head to toe. I actually remember them oiling the streets because they were trying to keep the coal dust and the steel dust down.
Wow.
In our neighborhood. And, yep, all of that stuff went into me. And here at 63, when I woke up that fateful morning and couldn't get out of bed, all of that stuff was still in my body. I was like Eureka when we did a heavy toxic metal test. I had every heavy toxic metal known to man in my body. So that was the place where I was already getting rid of the toxins, so then we started on doing a heavy metal detox. And by it took me 6 years to get rid of all of the toxins, and it took me about a year to get rid of all the heavy toxic metals. But already, I started feeling so much better. And then the next thing she did, my conventional doctor had tested me for allergies, and the only thing I was allergic to was the tape that they put the allergy test on my back. My functional doctor tested me for sensitivities. It's a different test, and it's looking for different markers. Well, I had 18 food sensitivities. Who'd have thunk? And they weren't normal ones. Sometimes doctors will have you do what's called an elimination test so that you sort of figure out what you're sensitive to that way. My doctor just wanted to run the test. And it's weird things that I would never have found through an elimination diet. I have a sensitivity to basil and to mint and to fennel. I thought, fennel. Ah, that will be easy. Fennel's in everything. I had no idea. It's a seasoning used in all different kinds of cooking. I am sensitive to chicken. I used to eat so much chicken I thought I was going to cluck. Well, that's partly why I'm now sensitive to it, because we figured out that I had something called leaky gut. And I'll go back to leaky gut. Because sensitivities form because food particles that don't digest properly start popping up against your wall of your gut to go into your bloodstream. And if they digest properly, they go through your bloodstream and they go off to do all of their work as nutrients in your body. But if they don't digest properly, which is what happens when you have toxins in your gut or when you have a lot of stress in your body or when you're eating things that you're sensitive to, you're not digesting them. So they start poking up against the wall of your gut, which is only one cell thick. And eventually, it pokes a little hole in your gut, which means that food starts going into your bloodstream in a size of molecule that is a foreign size. And your immune system doesn't know what it is because it's not the right size particle. And it screams attack. So autoimmune means your immune system goes into hyper. And it starts to attack that food particle. Now, the body's a fascinating thing because it's not only is it attacking that food particle, but that food particle is mimicking other tissue in your body. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was my muscles and my joint. For somebody else, it might be their thyroid, and then they would get Hashimoto's or Graves' disease. Mm-hmm. For somebody else, it might just be that their joints start swelling severely, and that would be arthritis. If it's going into their system and attacking all of their muscles, that could be fibromyalgia. Or if it's attacking their lower gut where they're getting IBS, that is because that's what it's mimicking. And mm-hmm. each one of us has a weak point that these little bad-sized particles are going into our system and are mimicking. And it, sometimes it could even be your skin on your face. That's what psoriasis and eczema are. It mm-hmm. all starts in the gut. So in order to start to heal autoimmune disease, you have to start with healing the gut.
Well, so it seems like everything is focused in the gut. So if you can heal your gut, that you won't get so many colds in the wintertime, you'd probably avoid the flu and all those types of things?
You do that, and you also avoid a whole lot of diseases. When I wrote my book, I was focused on autoimmune disease because that's what I had reversed inflammation for and had started feeling better from. Mm-hmm. But I have since come to understand that inflammation, which is the slow burn that starts in your stomach that then triggers your immune system, it's cancer, it's dementia, it's depression, it's almost every kind of chronic illness that we have starts in the gut. And so making sure you eat lots of organic greens so that you don't have an acid environment in your gut, and instead mm-hmm. you're eating and feeding in an alkaline environment so that your good gut bacteria can break down your food properly. All of it is important no matter what the chronic illness is that you're fighting or don't want to get in the future. Taking and protecting your gut is the first major step that you could take.
Well,
and these are things you can do on your own.
Okay, let me ask a question real quick. For those who aren't clear on what alkaline is and acidity, could you explain that so that people are clear?
Well, there's a scale from 1 to 10 of how acid and how alkaline foods are. And you want to stay on the alkaline side because acid is the environment that things like cancer need to survive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it. It's just tomatoes tend to be acid, but that doesn't mean that you should never eat a tomato. It just means you have to eat a lot of alkaline things. All of your green vegetables, most of your vegetables, no matter what color they are on mm-hmm. the alkaline side of the scale. Pastured meat is mm-hmm. not as acidic as conventional meat. But there's all kinds of problems with conventional meat because they're putting hormones in them and they're giving them antibiotics so that they can stay alive long enough to hit your table. So mm-hmm. you want to stay within the spectrum on the least acidic side as possible. So I eat meat. I eat meat that is grass-fed, grass-finished. It is still a little acid, but I eat only a quarter of my plate is meat at any time. Everything mm-hmm. else is vegetables of all the colors of the rainbow. So that what's going into my body is mostly alkaline, and it does impact how your body functions.
Okay, so on
and
that
how your
scale,
gut functions.
On that scale, so is the alkaline the higher numbers or the lower numbers?
They're the higher numbers.
Okay.
And you'll see that, you know, the industry has sort of figured this out because now they're putting out alkaline water and mm-hmm. they're trying to get you to do things that have an alkaline balance. Mm-hmm. The water from your tap is probably more acidic than if you were buying bottled water, but bottled water has all kinds of issues too because it's leaching the plastic into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even discovered that there's little particles of plastic in your plastic bottles of water.
And believe it or not, plastic bottled water is less regulated than what comes out of your tap. So if you want to drink alkaline water, the best thing for you to do is get a filter on your tap that takes all the crud out of your water, and then you add a little bit of lemon to it. I drink lemon water all day long, and you'd say, but lemon should be maybe acid. It is acid when it goes into your water, but when it gets into your system, it converts itself immediately to alkaline. So then it helps your body function better. So lemon water is the first thing I drink in the morning, and then I drink it all day long because it gives my body what it needs in terms of liquids to function properly. Okay. And it also helps my digestion function properly.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Cheryl Meyer. She's the author of It Feels Good to Feel Good, Learn How to Eliminate Toxins, Reverse Inflammation, and Feel Great Again. You can check her out, at her website. That's CherylMHealthMuse.com. Again, that's CherylMHealthMuse.com. And I am so happy that she has agreed to be the Get Over It podcast health expert who's going to come back every couple of months and share some information with us. So, Cheryl, we talked a bit about inflammation. How does that carry over to the autoimmune side of things?
Well, I want to start with I find people all the time in just conversations because I'm out now speaking locally as often as I can about this, and I'm finding people who have inflammation and they're not aware of it. So I'd like to start there if we could.
Okay.
If
okay.
you're taking a lot of over-the-counter drugs to mask little pains, maybe you get a couple headaches a week, or your shoulder is bothering you, or your knee is bothering you. If you're taking over-the-counter pain medications, you probably have inflammation. Inflammation is what's causing you your pain, and it's a sign that your toxic load is building. So let me just read a couple of things to ask you to ask yourself, because these are signs of inflammation.
Okay.
Do you hurt? Do you have joint pain or stiffness? Do you have muscle pain? Are you getting lots of headaches? When you look in the mirror, do you have good days and bad days? I have to look in the mirror sometimes and go, whoa, I look okay today. And other days I go, wow, I am all puffy. Well, that's inflammation. And I wasn't seeing the sign. Do you have brain fog when you get up in the morning? Does it take a cup of coffee or two or three so that you can function? Brain fog is a sign of inflammation. Mm-hmm. Are you suffering from swelling, especially around your ankles? I personally can also feel it in my fingers now if I pay attention. If I eat one of my things that I'm sensitive to unknowingly, I know it immediately because I can feel it in my hands and I can see it in my ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get constipated a lot? That's a sign of inflammation. Are you bloating and belching and passing gas? That's all inflammation. Mm-hmm. Are you more tired when you get up than when you went to bed? That fatigue is probably connected to your cortisol, which is connected to your gut, which is connected to inflammation. And do you have asthma? Are you having a problem with water retention, digestive issues? If you're getting a lot of GERD where you're having reflux, that's because you're not eating a diet that's alkaline enough. And people take medications for that because they think they have too much acid in their stomach. The reality is they don't have enough. And so the pill is doing exactly the opposite of what you need. What you need is to increase your green and all your colors of your vegetables. And that will calm your stomach down. I used to have terrible GERD. I don't have any anymore because I'm eating right. Do you have itchy ears or eyes? Does your throat tickle? Do you have a stuffy nose and sinus trouble? That's all related to inflammation. Acne, cysts, hives, or rashes. My whole life I had rashes. It was all connected to the when I was allergic to Pittsburgh back in the beginning. Ruddy, inflamed-looking skin, eczema, or psoriasis, all of those are signs of inflammation, and that's the root of all disease. So that's the first thing. Whether you end up getting autoimmune disease or it shows itself in cancer or dementia or Parkinson's, it's even connected to diabetes. It's connected to all of our major chronic illness. So cleaning up the gut, because the slow burn is what causes the food not to digest and then starts ripping the little holes in the gut lining, which is triggering your immune system. So you need to make sure that what you're feeding your gut, you're feeding your gut things to live. You're not living to eat. It's a difference.
Okay.
You want to eat things that actually have nutrients that can help your body sing. And if you're eating fast food, there's almost no nutritious value to that at all. There's a couple that are better than others, but pretty much across the board. If you're eating a lot of processed food, you have to learn to read labels on the boxes. Because if you can't pronounce an ingredient, it's something synthetic that's not going to give you any nutrition at all. If you're seeing an ingredient that you don't know what it is, you probably don't want to know what it is. Things like natural flavorings are often MSG. The food industry has figured out we know that some things are bad for us, so they're just renaming them. And that way you still keep eating them, but you don't know you're still eating them. So if you don't know what it is, you don't buy it. You only buy processed food that you know all the ingredients. And yes, it's more convenient, but you can learn to which products you can use and which products you can't. And then you need to get rid of sugar. Sugar is devastating on the gut. It is as addictive as cocaine. It's very hard to detox off of it, but I strongly recommend you do it anyway. I detoxed off of it over 3 weeks. It was like I had a horrible flu, because I was so addicted to it. But when I came out the other end, not only did I feel better, but I wasn't hungry all the time anymore. And what I have since learned is sugar turns off a hormone in your brain that regulates your appetite. And so by detoxing off the sugar, you're not eating a big dinner for Thanksgiving and then going more, and going, how could I still be hungry? If you get off the sugar, then you only eat when you should be eating, and you're eating all the good stuff that's feeding your body nutrients because you're not craving the sugar anymore.
Okay, and it's really possible to get off the sugar in say, a month's time?
Yes, it is. In my book, I tell you what you should do to detox off of sugar. There are some fruits that you're allowed. You're allowed to eat berries. Berries are low in sugar, and they're really yummy anyway, so that's kind of delightful. And then there's suggestions on what you eat. Obviously, you eat a lot of green vegetables again. Because you want to eat, and your vegetables, if at all possible, should be organic, because you don't want to be adding the toxins that are sprayed all over our food into your body, because that's only going to aggravate your toxic load. If you can't afford to eat everything organic, the EWG, that lovely group that I did all my research in their database, they put out a card every year called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. The Dirty Dozen have so many toxins on them, you absolutely buy those organic. And there's 12 of them. So that's where you spend your organic money. If it's on the Clean 15, it doesn't matter. They're not heavily toxic. They're not sprayed with a lot of nasty chemicals. And so you can buy those however your budget will allow you to. I now try to buy everything organic because I don't want to have anything tip my toxic load over the top again. But that's a good rule of thumb of where to start. And
Well, let me ask a question regarding that. What if someone just, you know, money's tight, they've got a family, you know, and they got other, you know, bills to pay and everything. If you can't buy organic all the time, what things should you at least try to buy organic, say, like 80% of the time?
Well, the Dirty Dozen is the list. And believe it or not, berries are on that list. Strawberries are the dirtiest thing we put into our mouth. But there are, like, potatoes have 72 toxins on them.
Yeah, I was reading that in your book. It blew me away.
I know.
Is that all potatoes or just white potatoes or what?
No, it's the russets, I think. But the other ones also have a lot of toxins on them. So what I recommend is take a look at where you're spending your money. If you're stopping in the morning to get that coffee on your way to work, it would better serve you to make your coffee and take it with you and to use that money for organic. If you're going out to lunch every day at work, it would serve you better to make your lunch and save that money so that you can buy organic. Plus, you're controlling what's going into your own mouth that way.
Mm-hmm.
I cook most of my own food now because I can control it. And I know what I'm getting. And I do go out to dinner. I have a little business card I printed with all 18 of my food sensitivities. And I will call a restaurant ahead of time to make sure that they can at least somewhat accommodate me. And then when I get there, I hand the waiter my little card and say, the chef knows I'm coming. Take my card to him and let's see what you can make me for dinner tonight. And restaurants want to help. Mm-hmm. They really try. But there are some areas, like I often will take my own olive oil with me to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Because olive oil is now gotten involved with the mafia. And they're cutting it with all the cruddy oils. So that if you're not buying a olive oil that's certified, or if mm-hmm. you're not buying an olive oil that's from California, who regulates what goes into your olive oil bottle, mm-hmm. you could be getting, and what restaurants mostly use is a blend that's 80-20 canola oil, olive oil. And canola oil, believe it or not, was originally created to be a pesticide. It's not good for you. It's not even good for you if it's organic. It's just not good for you.
Wow.
So there are times that I have a little bottle. I take my own olive oil with me. Or if I don't have it, I'll make them bring me the bottle. So I can, they'll say, no, it's olive oil. And then they bring it to me and it's a light color. Olive oil is olive colored. So then I know that I can't eat that. Then I just have my salad with lemon juice. But you start to become aware of what makes your body happy, and then you become very protective of it. Because if I don't pay attention to all these little things, then I get what's called a flare. And a flare is where my inflammation flares up, and I get all my pain back, and I don't want to go there again. So it's worth it to me to be this vigilant in terms of how I'm eating.
Well, and it seems that's much better than taking a pain pill, which might mask the pain, but it's also going to cause so many other symptoms that are negative to your body.
Right. Well,
it's like killing you.
Tylenol. I was allergic to aspirin as a kid, so my whole life I've taken. They came out with Tylenol in a pill form. I'm an old broad when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
what I've taken my whole life. Well, it ends up they have now decided it's far harder on the liver than they ever knew. And so where is one of the weak parts in my body? My liver.
Mm.
It's from taking all that Tylenol all my life, and it's also very hard on your kidneys. So you don't want to be taking Tylenol at all if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Advil and ibuprofen and aspirin are all very hard on the gut. They can cause you to get ulcers and make your gut lining bleed, but they're also going to create an environment where you get leaky gut. So you don't want to be taking those. So what do I do for pain? I take something called curcumin, which is the active ingredient from turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it works. You take curcumin with a little bit of black pepper in it. So what I buy as a supplement is curcumin BP, because
okay.
the black pepper allows your body to assimilate it. But I take a curcumin every morning when I get up, and I take another every night when I go to sleep, and I don't have any pain anymore. And it's a combination of the fact that I've cleaned up my gut, that I have lowered my inflammation, that I'm eating a lot of vegetables. I recommend that 3/4 of your plate be some color of vegetable, and that half of them be cooked and half of them be raw, because you get different things from it if you mm-hmm. have it raw versus cooked. All of that has helped my gut heal, and I am not going to go back to having that inflammation and getting that pain. It's worth it to me.
Okay.
And, you know, I drink alkaline water by putting lemon in it. All of that is part of me no longer having chronic pain. And everything that I'm telling your listeners, I'm not a doctor. Everything I'm telling you are things you can do yourself. You don't need a doctor to tell you how to do these things. These are lifestyle changes that you can be the ruler of that will help your body heal and start to lower your pain so that you can feel fantastic again. And I've come to believe that most of us are walking around in a state of feeling kind of yucky all the time. We just don't tune in to read our body and to know it. But I can tell you, when you eliminate all this stuff and you make these lifestyle changes, and when you're vigilant about what you put in your mouth, it's worth it because your body knows how it feels, and it feels fantastic. And mm-hmm. I honestly don't think I felt this good for maybe 30 years.
Wow.
I just wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, the great thing about lifestyle change is that you don't have to implement everything at once. You can, you know, do it slowly
right.
or as quickly as you want. But the trick to it is lifestyle, to be consistent with it. Once you start it, keep it going, and then add on.
And not to get discouraged, it's fine to eliminate your toxic load over time. And it's fine to start to implement the lifestyle changes slowly. But then you have to remember not to get discouraged if you're not seeing miracles right away, because they will happen. You just have to recognize that each day is a step in the right direction until one day you wake up and go, you know something? I feel pretty terrific. This has been worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are steps that you take that you can't get discouraged. You just keep doing them because they will make a huge difference. And you can tell my energy level on the phone. I feel great. I did not feel great 7 years ago and for probably 20 years before that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can we talk about the autoimmune part now?
Okay. Sorry. Yes,
okay.
I went around there.
Oh, that's okay.
So autoimmune, there are over 140 things now that are caused autoimmune. Some of them have names, some of them don't. What I actually got diagnosed with is undefined autoimmune disease. I joke that I'm like a Chinese menu. I had some things from column A, some things from column B, some things from column C, but I had all the markers for autoimmune disease. Now, that threw a conventional doctor because I didn't have MS or fibromyalgia because I had symptoms, I had markers from the other autoimmune diseases. So mm-hmm. the thing to know is it's not necessarily important to know what it's called. There are complications if it's called MS. There are complications if it's called lupus or fibromyalgia. But the first step is just to figure out that it's autoimmune disease, mm-hmm. because the beginning treatment for that is to heal your gut. No matter what it's called, you need to heal your gut. So all these different autoimmune diseases show themselves in different ways, but the beginning treatment is the same for all of them. And the things that I'm talking about will make an impression on all of them and start to heal your body to heal from the chronic pain and the chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And even diabetes now is considered to be an autoimmune disease.
Really?
So, yeah, because they're recognizing how if your body isn't functioning at the optimal level, then it's hindering your insulin from doing what it's supposed to be doing, your pancreas from doing what it's supposed to be doing. Your whole body has to work like a symphony in order for your body to effectively work. And mm-hmm. so they've started to identify things as autoimmune diseases that were never considered to be autoimmune diseases before.
Okay. It's amazing. It's just amazing how, I know, research has grown and so much more is being discovered, and we have the opportunity to take control of ourselves, of our health,
right.
and we don't have to depend on, you know, the allopathic medicine completely in order to heal ourselves.
And doctors are trained to match the pill to your symptom. So you need to own your own body. It's not their fault. They certainly have a role that's important to our health. But our healthcare system is broken because we're not owning our own health. Mm-hmm. We're eating all these toxins. They're doing all the damage that they're doing to our gut lining and our leaky gut. And they're causing pretty obscene amounts of disease in this country that are not happening in other places. We are now 37th in the world in health, but we spend more than any other country on health. And the statistic that really hit me between the eyes is 53% of our children have some kind of chronic condition now.
Wow.
ADHD is considered to be a chronic condition.
Mm-hmm.
Learning disabilities, there's a whole, you know, and even they think autism is connected to all of this. So
we need to start to stop eating the toxins, stop allowing the toxins that are in other areas of our life. There are toxins in what we cook our food in and what we store our food in and what we're drinking our water from. I now have a full system on my house where all my water has been, all the toxins have been taken out of my water. And then I put my water into stainless steel bottles. And I don't buy plastic water anymore. Mm-hmm. Number one, that's another place where you can save money to buy organic food. You pay 1,200 times more for a plastic bottle of water than if you put a filter on your kitchen sink and then fill up your own stainless steel bottle and take it with you. And the mm-hmm. beauty of stainless steel is the water doesn't get hot. So even if we're driving in the hot sun all day long, the water in our stainless steel bottles is still a lovely temperature and delicious to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we bought big jugs so that if we're driving from LA to San Francisco, we have several big jugs so we can refill our water so that we will never buy a plastic bottle of water again.
Okay.
And while I'm talking about water, just quick, I thought Flint, Michigan was unusual in terms of the crud that's in their water. Okay. Well, guess what? There are water systems all over the United States that are as bad or worse. And if you want to know what's in your water, you can get a report from your water department, and they'll break down what's in your water. And most likely, you need some kind of a filtering system because everything's going into our water. If people are throwing their drugs into the toilet, all that mm-hmm. stuff ends up in our water system, let alone all the runoff from the herbicides and the pesticides that they're spraying on our food. All of that stuff is going into our water system. So you want to get that stuff out before you drink it so that you know you're not adding to your toxic load by drinking water.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, you know, some of what you're saying, it sounds so dire, but on the other hand, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just becoming more aware. So how can people who are truly on the bandwagon now of, you know, helping themselves and wanting their health to be better, how can you avoid the pitfalls of the fake information out there that's put out by, you know, all these pharmaceutical companies sometimes and chemical companies? How can we get past all that to find the real truth of what's going to help us heal ourselves?
Yeah, it's not easy. There is companies are allowed to do their own studies. That was amazing to me.
Uh-huh.
And things get approved because they're generally considered to be safe. That's actually a term called GRAS. Uh-huh. If they're generally considered to be safe, it means there hasn't been any study to prove that they're not. But it doesn't mean that they're safe. So how do you know what is safe and what isn't safe? You can follow me on Facebook. I have two pages, and I post on Cheryl M. Health Muse about the latest things on terms of your health. Mm-hmm. And then on my It Feels Good to Feel Good page, I post the latest things in terms of toxins so that you can stay up to date that way. I have a whole series of functional doctors that I follow. I have them all in the back of the book. It's a huge index of people that if you follow them, they'll send you newsletters on a fairly regular basis and keep you up to date,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is important. Things are changing all the time. I had just mentioned to you there is a new study on stress and something called telomeres that if we don't control our stress, it shortens the tip of our chromosome, which is what causes our bodies to age. And so it's really important to be aware of that. And again, what shortens the telomeres? Mm-hmm. Toxins. So you want to be sure that you are eliminating toxins one step at a time and lowering your toxic load. You don't want to be overwhelmed by it one step at a time because that's also going to allow your telomeres not to get shortened so that you live a long and happy and healthy life. Somebody asked my husband the other day, don't you know you're going to die? And he said, of course I'm going to die, but I want to die happy. So it's worth it to me to get all these toxins out of my life.
Well, that and be as healthy as possible while you're here so that you can do things instead of just suck up air.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we're both seniors now, and we're feeling good, and we're running rings around younger people in our lives because we eat healthy, and we're enjoying life because our bodies feel good. What mm-hmm. a pleasure. Yes,
so
it is.
You need to follow me as a place, because I'm reading constantly. I'm really fascinated by all this stuff, and I want to stay up to date. But then by following, even if you go to my website, there's a whole section on resources, which will list several of my favorite doctors that you should be following. And you can find positive things about what the people I follow say, and you can find the negative stuff, because there's a lot of backlash, because these big companies don't want you to change.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to eat all that MSG. They want you to buy all that plastic water bottles. And so there are plenty of articles written against these people, but these people are talking because they got sick, they got themselves cured, and they are as passionate to share what they have found, and they've gone back for additional training in functional medicine because they are as passionate as I am to share what they now know. So I trust them. I don't trust the company to monitor itself. And
you don't trust the government
to monitor them.
Lost
$250 million because someone finally sued them and won.
Mm-hmm.
And they never allowed suits to go to court before. And since this landmark case just finished last month in San Francisco, mm-hmm. there are over 4,000 new lawsuits against Monsanto from class action suits of people who have been injured from their herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opened up the door. Other countries don't do what we do. France doesn't allow all the herbicides to be sprayed on their crops.
Mm-hmm.
England is very transparent in their food. You know if it's genetically modified, which I didn't talk about, but I probably should. They know that. They were appalled when we went to England last year that we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil just banned herbicides from being sprayed on their crops. People in other areas of the world the World Health Organization has called glyphosate, which was what was just lost the lawsuit, as a carcinogen, a probable carcinogen. But they could never sue to find out. And the reason it hasn't been studied is also fascinating. If you were somebody who was at a university and you wanted to study what the harmful effects of spraying glyphosate on all our food was, you'd go away on vacation and come back and your entire lab would be completely taken apart. Your entire staff would have been fired and you probably had lost your job, because who funds the universities?
Uh-huh.
The big chemical companies, the big pharmaceutical companies.
Uh-huh.
And so if you read my book, there's two chapters in my book about I fully expect for people to go after me, because and I wrote the book from the point of view is I'm not a scientist. I have read the studies both right from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was let my body vote. That's what I want you to do. If you clean up the toxins on your food, if you stop buying genetically modified foods, then let your body vote. It will tell you if it feels better. My body felt better. And so I now know that toxins harm me, so I'm going to avoid them no matter what. Let's talk about GMOs quickly.
Okay.
I sort of knew about GMOs. I knew it was out there. In California, we had it on the ballot, and it lost, and I wasn't really sure what the whole thing was about. And people will twist it so that you never will find out if you're reading some of the one sides of the issue. But I went to a guy named the Institute for Responsible Technology, and I read his book. And then they read my chapters on genetically modified to make sure that I was correct in how I was presenting it. Genetically modified isn't like making a carrot orange, because believe it or not, carrots used to be white. And Bugs Bunny had a carrot when he was on his way on the train to Cucamonga that was orange, and the world went wild and wanted orange carrots. So they made a few twitches to the carrot and made it orange. But it didn't do anything to the body and the nature of the carrot. When you're genetically modifying something, you're actually making it into something that it never would have ever been in nature. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two different kinds of genetically modified that are endangered. The first one, they're actually breeding BT toxin right into your food. And it's just what it sounds like. It's a toxin so that when the soy grows and an insect eats it, it blows up the stomach. And that's why we're losing all our bees and our butterflies, because it's blowing up their stomachs too. And unfortunately, if they don't pollinate our crops, we're not going to have any crops. So that's the first bad thing. Mm-hmm. But what happens when it gets into your stomach is it's also blowing up all your good bacteria. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem to impact your bad bacteria. So it's putting your whole balance of what you need to properly digest your food completely out of whack. And the BT toxin starts to replicate itself in your gut. So it's not just what you eat, then it's making more of that icky stuff once it's in your stomach, and it's blocking you from getting important things like magnesium, which is in charge of 350 enzyme reactions in your body. So you need to make sure when you do go to the doctor that you'd have him check things like your magnesium level and your vitamin D level, because they're all getting blocked by the amount of glyphosate and herbicides and pesticides that are going into your gut. I was very low, and yep, I haven't detoxed them yet, but I'm still loaded with herbicides and pesticides. And I'm a little city girl, so, you know, how does all this stuff happen? It's because of what I ate. So that's the first kind of GMO that you want to get rid of. Second kind is they're making some plants what they call Roundup Ready. What is Roundup? Roundup is glyphosate. That's what just lost $250 million because it gave a groundskeeper for a school lymphoma.
Cancer. Yeah.
And he's
died
cancer.
In stage
and
four.
Yeah. He's the one who won. And so we are actually making some of our plants that we're going to eat ready to allow them to spray massive amounts of glyphosate on them. And one of the plants that they're doing that to is wheat. They pour so much glyphosate on wheat, they do it because it gives them a greater yield in the crop, but it doesn't get washed off. So all of your bread, all of your pasta, all of your things that your wheat goes into, you're getting a huge healthy dose of glyphosate with it. And we already know it's a known carcinogen, and so you don't want that. So stay away from GMOs. You're getting more glyphosate in your GMOs than you are if it's conventional. But you're still getting quite a bit in your conventional because they're still spraying conventional crops with it as well. But the GMOs are the worst of the worst, so stay away.
Well, I think it was your book that I read that Monsanto, in their own employee cafeteria, they will not serve food that has been sprayed by their product. Which
I read that. I included it. I don't know if it's true, and I put that in the book, but I find it ironic as heck. They've known, there was a woman who was one of their scientists who got cancer while she was working on the herbicides and the pesticides. And she wrote an article that they have known for 25 years that these are having horrible, harmful effects on us, on our livestock, on our animals. I have always been a cat lover. I've always had multiples of cats. I just lost all three in the last year. And silly me, I wasn't thinking about the fact that their food has all of the chemicals in it as well now. My last two made it to 20 and 22. These guys died at 12, 14, and 16. I think it's because of what they have the same problems with the toxins in their food that we do. And so, you know, and your dogs are walking on lawns that are sprayed with Roundup. Schoolyards are being sprayed with Roundup. It's a major issue, and it's making all of us sick. And it's one of the reasons 53% of our kids have some kind of a chronic illness. So you have to do what you can. Now, I got angry when I first started researching. Why wasn't my government protecting me? But the bottom line is our government is not going to protect us, so we need to join together. The Institute for Responsible Technology believes that with just a 5% shift, companies will start to shift with us because they don't want to lose the business. So I call it join me and be an army of one. Even though we're all fighting it as individuals, if we join together as a collective, we can start to create change. And I believe that. And I am seeing the beginnings of it. There was very little that I could see 7 years ago when I started. But I'm seeing now that some food products are making a big deal about the fact that they don't have the toxins and the crud in them, that cleaning products are available that don't have the crud in them, the cosmetics. There were very few cosmetic lines when I started that I could use, but now there are many that you can choose from. It's starting, but we need to spend our money where our mouth is. We need to not support the people who are making these poisonous products that are harming us, and we need to join together and buy the things from the companies that are supporting our bodies and our health. And then we will shift it as a collective.
Okay, well, well said. We are out of time, folks, but Cheryl, thank you so much for the information that you imparted today. And when you come back, I know that you will have something even more riveting to talk about as we drill down, if you will, into being able to take care of ourselves by what we put in our mouths, becoming more aware. So thank you so much, and thank you, audience, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you to the audience for being with us today as we collectively get over it and start taking care of ourselves. The divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're ready to live a more balanced life and get yourself together, give me a call for a consultation. If you mentioned that you heard about me on the radio show or a podcast, you get 10% off the consultation. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of having the best health that you possibly could have. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.